Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to continue with the story of the Irish agricultural catchments and our water quality situation, take up where my colleague Nolene MacDonald left off. What I've been working on this year is the causes of elevated river phosphorus, specifically during low flow conditions. Now, as Nolene introduced you, in each of our six study catchments, we are monitoring the water quality at the outlet, and we have very high temporal resolution of monitoring. Every 10 minutes we monitor pH, temperature, discharge, flow stage, phosphorus concentrations, nitrate concentrations, and a few other biophysical parameters. And essentially what we see at the outlet here is a very high temporal picture of the sum of all nutrient, water, and management practices and factors across the catchment. But that doesn't allow us to hone in onto which parts of the catchment are behaving in different ways, and we know that they do, based on their land management practices, on the critical source area concept, and just a few other parameters. So just a reminder here of our map of our six catchments. I'm going to be focusing my discussion here today on grasslands A and B, grassland A and arable B, but we also did these surveys in other catchments. Now, how does the water quality actually look? Well, specifically in terms of total reactive phosphorus, in Ireland this is the predominant issue for our surface water bodies as opposed to nitrates, which is cropping up more in groundwater. What we see here, the dotted line, is the EQS, the Environmental Quality Standard, set for us under the European Water Frameworks Directive. And that says that we cannot have, or we should not have, total reactive phosphorus concentrations above 0.035 milligrams per litre. What we can see is three of our catchments here. Timoleague, that's our intensive grasslands catchment in the blue. Ballycanoe, which is an arable catchment in the black. And Dunlear, which is arable B, which Nolene spoke to you about earlier. They're all exceeding the environmental quality standard. But this is an annual average. How does it look on a day-to-day basis? So here are four of our study catchments, and we can see flow in the blue line and total reactive phosphorus concentration in the red line. And what we can see is it's fluctuations. There are some clear, as you can see, if I can get the mouse, there are some clear runoff events where we have TRP spiking directly after a rainfall spike. However, the predominant elevations are happening during low flow conditions. Now, it might be tempting to think that this is just an issue that, oh, there's a lack of dilution, concentration goes up. But we know this can't be the only factor. It's likely to be a factor, but it's not the only thing. Why do we believe this? Because the magnitude of increase in total reactive phosphorus at low flow is going up over years, and that's shown very clearly here in grassland B. Sorry, the mouse isn't working as well as I might hope. So you can see there's an elevation here, but the elevation by the time we get to 2017 is much greater, so we know we can't attribute it to lack of dilution only. I'm going to skip that slide, there's no need for that. We actually have three broad hypotheses as to what this might be. First of all, it could be a source or a pressure issue. Increased pressure on facilities such as yards, dairy parlours as a result of our agricultural intensification. Or increased pressure in terms of the domestic and industrial side. There's been an awful lot of building in Ireland over the last decade or two decades. There's also been an ageing of older housing, and this could be relating to septic tank issues, and I'll talk about that in a little more detail. Could be a meteorological or a pathway factor, the leaching of soil P, the legacy soil P, which I no doubt all of you have heard an awful lot about this week, could be bringing existing P in the soil near to the receptor, and it's not diluted at low flow, but leaking out. So in other words, it could be a time lag issue. Or it could be a biochemical or a mobilisation issue, the release of stored P in the sediment column or the riparian zone. Now, we're going to spend time in our catchment survey on, or our catchments programme, on all of these issues, but for the moment I'm going to speak about source pressures. Specifically, what we're on the hunt for is persistent point sources. And these are point sources which are not leaking phosphorus in response to a rainfall event or a particular management event, but they are constantly leaching P into the environment. They could be domestic issues, they could be septic tanks or wastewater treatment, or they could be agricultural, dairy and yard washing, slurry storage, field drains in certain circumstances. And it's important to note that all catchments, even if their predominant land use is agricultural, is going to have a mix of potential sources. And they're going to play a bigger role in our water quality issues, depending on the magnitude of the source, their proximity to the receptor, and their connectivity. So what we and our team did was conduct synoptic surveys, and this is essentially high spatial sampling of water quality and biophysical parameters across the entire catchment. This gives us a very comprehensive snapshot of what's happening and allows us to hone in on what areas of the catchment are active during low flow as opposed to active during high flow, as you might predict from a runoff type map. And our synoptic survey aimed to attain 50 points per catchment, and this is really a credit to the whole team because we averaged out at 4 or 5 to 6 points per kilometre. Comparable studies for very similar catchments in the UK averaged one sample every 4 kilometres or one sample every 1.5 kilometres. So we got very good spatial density. Our sampling times were spring and autumn to coincide with ecological surveys and key farm activities, and we aimed to attain low flow conditions. We sampled for different phosphorus species, nitrogen, some biophysical markers here, and also some microbiological factors and DNA analysis. Now, I'm going to comment only very briefly on those because I'm not a microbiologist and much of that side of things was done by our colleagues in NUI Galway. For this presentation, I'm going to focus on the TRP concentrations with a brief comment on the microbiology. These are the four catchments we conducted the surveys in. I'm going to focus on, for now, on Dunlear, which is the arable bee Nolene spoke to you about, and Timoleague. Now, a little bit about each catchment. Dunlear, arable bee, is mixed production, as Nolene said. It's predominantly grassland, but a high density of arable for soils of that type. There's also a lot of one-off residences of various ages, both very old housing and very, very new housing, and it's typically very, very poorly drained. Timoleague, however, is an intensive dairy catchment. It's in the top 10 percentile in Ireland, and there is some residential housing, but very minor, and as I said, very, very well drained. As you can see from our graphs here at the bottom, we achieved low flow conditions for all of our surveys, which is a little challenging when Ireland kind of rains on and off very alarmingly. I'll skip straight on to the results. For our Dunlear catchment here, we can see in the dots, you can see the environmental quality according to the Water Framework Directive thresholds for TRP at each of our sampling points. And first of all, we can see that the dominant status across the catchment at low flow conditions, remember, is poor. It's exceeding the 0.035 milligrams per litre. There are, however, some isolated patches where it's at very, very good quality, such as here in the north of the catchment, and there at the higher elevations, so they're draining from less area, and they're also typically the more arable areas. When we get to autumn, we're sorry to say that the situation has declined. The TRP concentrations have gone up across the catchment, and there are much fewer isolated, clean stretches. Things only really get interesting, however, when you start comparing the spring and the autumn concentrations. What we can see here at the left-hand side of the graph, all of the M numbers are along the main stream. And what we can see here is that the autumn concentrations always exceed the spring concentrations, with one anomaly here. The opposite is true when we look at the tributaries at the far side of the graph. The spring concentrations are always exceeding the autumn concentrations. When I saw this result, it really caused me to scratch my head, because you would think what is true for the tributaries should be true for the main stream. However, the mainstream is really suffering from the net effect of all factors. It's not just showing point source, it's diffuse factors as well. There's a lot of factors at play, and the effect of each individual point source, whether it's persistent or otherwise, is suppressed. Conversely, on the tributaries, they're sucking water from a much smaller catchment area each, so there's a minimal opportunity for dilution and a greater opportunity for point sources. So when we look at the mainstream, in spring it's taking advantage of the flushing that happens over winter. However, that factor is suppressed in the tributaries, and this causes this mismatch. We also sampled from our ditches. The reason we did this is my colleague Mairead Shore, who's a hydrochemist, found out that the ditches can be either acting as a sink or source of phosphorus at various times in response to various conditions. So we wanted to know, were they contributing at low flow? So first, the first three ditches, 1, 2 and 3, they were dry. So even if they are potential sources, they're not active during this time. It might be a different story at different flow periods, but for the low flow phenomenon, they're not a player. However, the other ditches were having a role. I highlighted this one because it was also the site of one of our microbial sampling points. These three ditches are dramatically high in phosphorus, and you might wonder why that is. Well, they're very, very close to some very newly built residential housing, and you can see the concentrations are sky high and they are flowing. So it's unreasonable to expect that this domestic issue, even though it's in an agricultural setting, is not having an effect. It's clearly having an effect. Very, very briefly, to touch on our microbial results, you can see the colony forming units for all the three species we sampled are very, very high, particularly so if you look at the clostridial concentrations at samples point 5 and 6. And Clostridia is often believed to be a sewage indicator, as opposed to the others, which could be coming from animal sources either. Our DNA analysis should allow us to really hone in and find out whether our hypothesis here is the case. With regards to our dairy catchment, Timoleague, the situation is an awful lot simpler. In spring, we had clean water pretty much everywhere, which we were delighted to report. It reflects the flushing we have over winter largely. When we get to autumn, along the main stream in particular, there is a decline in quality and increase in TRP. And when we look at the concentrations, it's really quite a straightforward story. When we look at spring, it's had the advantage of the flushing that happens over winter. So even though there might have been phosphorus being delivered, it's been washed out. However, when we get to autumn, there's been a lot of fertiliser and slurry applications over the summer. It's been a time of intensive milking and production, and there hasn't been the water there to wash it out, so the TRP during a summer period is elevated at low flow. Microbial results, there really is not much to say. There was no smoking gun, no alarm bells rang from a microbial sampling. It's dramatically lower in relation to our Dunlear, our arable catchment. And what we believe this to say is that there really isn't a persistent point source issue happening in this catchment. So what is the point of all this? Well, I don't want to leave you with just two case studies of two different places in Ireland. That doesn't help us manage the issues any better. What we learned from this exercise, and the analysis is still ongoing, but there are different influences on the low flow signal depending on the watershed type and the buildings, the amenities and facilities in them. For our mixed source catchment for Dunlear, in which there's both clear persistent point sources as well as agricultural sources, the area of drainage of each tributary and each main body river and the prevalence of domestic point sources is going to have a key role in the low flow phosphorus concentration. This isn't a bad thing. This gives us a potential for easy wins, because if it's an issue of septic tanks, industrial runoff or farmyard facilities, these are things we can improve by engineering measures and that should have an immediate response in water quality with relation to TRP at low flow. For our diffuse source agricultural catchment, really timing our management practices and optimising fertility, optimising agricultural production is going to be key for our management. Now, as I said, this is the early days. We have two more years to go on this particular phase of our project. Next thing we want to do is analyse the DNA markers to really hone in whether it's agricultural or domestic or originating fecal contamination. We also want to analyse the other nutrient and biophysical parameters. I only showed you one of over a dozen parameters that we actually measured. We want to weight the flow sampling, the flow originating at each sample point, and analyse the sediments which we collected. And I also want to collaborate with my colleague Nolene in relation to relating these river high-resolution river maps with the high-resolution soil P maps that have been formed. Thank you all very much for listening, and I'd appreciate any questions if we have time.
Are they mostly conventional systems, or are there any kind of alternative septic systems in that area?
You know? Mostly very, very conventional. And one of the difficulties is there's been an awful lot of new builds. There's been a lot of new tanks put in, and obviously this puts in a lot of pressure on the percolation area. They're starting to overlap. But the other issue is that we have older housing, in which case the quality and the degree to which these septic tanks are performing has declined. I don't know how it works here, but I know the testing for the efficacy of tanks is very rough in Ireland. Really, it's judged on, it's a visual assessment criteria, so it doesn't actually give you any quantitative value on how well each individual tank is performing. It's definitely an issue, and what I want to really highlight is that even though this is an agricultural area, if you look at the land use type, you'd say, well, it's not a residential area, but there are these hidden point sources which could go absolutely passed by and unaddressed by measures.
Any other questions? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.